Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
No.
So this was my weekend, by the way. This is why I'm so happy. I bought goalie equipment from Canadian Tire street hockey gear.
The one question I have, were you playing with a rubber puck at least?
No, of course not.
You had street hockey pads on and no protection other than
I wasn't even
that.
Wearing a can.
How about that?
And I went, stacked my pads. I'm like, whoa, I got nothing on down here. I never thought that I would be leaving my pins. Seriously.
Wow.
And no mask.
Talk about putting them on the table.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Hello. Welcome, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. You can go to the wide shot. Just do it. Like old school. Here he comes. You see the empty chair? That's Moose DuPont. Sliding on in. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Canada's daytime sports talk show, where we're not too fancy over here.
I slept in.
It's hour two of the show, hour one on national television on Game Plus, and I just checked the text line, and it's deader than a doornail. It's deader than a skunk on the Trans-Canada Highway. And I said to Darren, can you go plug this in quick, the Prairie Mobile text line, because we can't promote it if the phone's dead.
It charges fast.
Yeah, so he just ran out to do that. Hey, look, we're going to go through the regular rigmarole of what we do, but we got breaking news today, all kinds of it coming down the pipe, and I'm going to open the show with this. From the National Football League, the Cleveland Browns will play their first playoff game since 2002 without first-year coach Kevin Stefanski, who tested positive for COVID-19 just 2 days after leading the team back to the postseason. The Browns said special teams coordinator Mike Pryfer will be the acting head coach Sunday while Stefanski is away. So again, we see the NFL is not mucking around with the virus. So there's that. And then there's news from the National Hockey League today. By the way, just this morning, 8 a.m. Central, the NHL came out with this announcement that they are sponsoring their divisions. They've sold sponsorships. So the North Division, of which we reside here in Canada, is the Scotia Division. The West Division, home of my beloved Vegas Golden Knights, is the Honda Division. The Central Division will be Discover. That's the master. That's the credit card.
Yeah.
And the East Division is brought to you by Mass Mutual. As Clark puts up the graphic from all, I've never even heard of Mass Mutual. And as Darren says, that's the point of marketing.
That's why they're advertising.
Now you do. That's why they're advertising. So that's led to our poll question today. We're right out of the gate with this. Are you okay with the National Hockey League selling sponsorships to the names of their divisions? You're going to be blown away with the results. Can you put it up on Facebook? 88% say, yeah, we're good. Let's go. Woo-hoo! If it means we can play. What's next? Obviously, logos on jerseys, logos on helmets. Who cares? Let's play. And it doesn't really affect you folks, that you people that sit at home and watch on television, and I'm one of you. We don't have to fork over any dough. If the corporations want to do it, and this is what keeps the pro sports engine churning, let's go. And I got to carry this over. This will come up again this hour. Here's a rant that I had on those government officials traveling. Kelly Bale, one of our viewers, says, I really like that rant. Government deserves the blame for unreasonable and unfounded restrictions. I agree the leaders who left for holidays and failed us should resign. And if they don't resign, here's my rant. They should be fired. Every single one of them should be fired for lack of leadership, lack of accountability for 10 months. And what have I been talking about? Defending the world of sports and small and medium business, following all their damn rules, and they break them with no consequences? Not a freaking chance, man. No way. We're supposed to listen to you, government leaders that we voted in? Gone. Gone. Very strong opinions on this. But anyways, let's put on the happy face. And last hour, we had Riley Pollock with us from Fan 960 Calgary. This hour, Spencer Moore of the Montreal Alouettes and his wife, Shelby. She's a tremendous hockey player. He's a tremendous football player. In these pandemic times, they've become entrepreneurs, and they're going to talk about it here in hour 2. I guess it's hour 1 on Game Plus. And our World Juniors analyst, Rich Sutter, will be with us. But guys, let's go to the quick 6 show topics, please, before we run out of time on block 1. So, the semifinals last night. We were all excited for Canada-Russia. Of course, our biggest rival. And the game was a dud. And we never really got into this last hour. Canada beat Russia 5-0. They were hardly challenged. It wasn't a good game. I want a close game. Of course, I want to win. But I want to be entertained, and it wasn't entertaining. And then we had a chance for a Russia goal. Canada's up 3-0 with a couple minutes to go in the second period. Russia scores, and it gets called off because the guy's a quarter-inch offside that had nothing to do with the goal. It's dumb. It's the rule. I get it. But Russia was jobbed. It was the TSN turning point. No argument, I would not think. That was the turning point of the game.
Yeah, you really thought Russia was going to score that goal. They had some life and that they were going to continue to press. And that just sucked the life right out of their bench. You just saw Larionov on the bench.
The whole team sagged. Oh, it's so evident.
They were done.
And game was
you
over.
Posted it. I'm like, yeah, you're so right.
And then the late game was the great game. The USA beat Finland 4-3. It got really wild in the last couple minutes. The USA won. And this is what is a good game. End to end, up and down, shots are even, scoring chances at both ends. That's what happened in the USA-Finland game. Will it happen tonight in the gold medal game? I have no idea, but we're all going to be watching. And we're still trying to figure out what time it is.
I know.
Because TSN always puts the start of their broadcast as the start of the game. Come on, TSN. We all know you have a 30-minute pregame show. What time are they dropping the puck? Is that too much to ask? We're going to watch the pregame anyways.
We're watching it all.
Come on, you guys. Point 2. We're leaning into our Winnipeg roots today because we're getting a lot of very positive feedback from Winnipeg viewers. And if that's the way it's going to go, we're going to reciprocate with Winnipeg coverage. Patrick Laine. You know, just last week I was going to just randomly tweet, Laine's still a Jet? Because I hadn't heard anything.
Right.
Oh, we heard lots over the last 24 hours. After Winnipeg Jets training camp opened, Laine meets with the media. I don't know what the question was from the reporters, but it was sort of like, are you disgruntled in camp? Or are you going to be traded? Something. And Laine smiled and said, I'm here, aren't I? And then he went on to say he doesn't think about the trade. Even Wayne Gretzky got traded. And I haven't followed the Jets a ton the last few years because I'm a Golden Knights and Oilers guy. But I'm certainly down. The Winnipeg Ice love us, had me on their podcast. I'm all good with Winnipeg hockey, believe me. If that's the way we're going to go, these guys love the Leafs. I don't get it. I don't get it. These kids around here weren't alive in the black and white color, black and white era of television. You know, it's the last time the Leafs won the Stanley Cup. I will never understand why you're Leaf fans, but that's fine. That's your thing. You can't stop somebody from hurting themselves. You just can't. But we live here in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL, right in the middle of Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. So I'm going to focus on those teams and move out. And Winnipeg is in the Bermuda Triangle. So my point here is with Laine, can we move on? That's one thing about the media. Didn't matter what the market is. They'll just pick something and bang on it forever. And for what we've heard from our Winnipeg viewers is that the Winnipeg media is just banging on this Laine thing. And it's like, he addressed it. And his coach addressed it yesterday. He's committed. Number one, he wants to be a great player. He looks great, Paul Maurice said. Can we just let him open the season? And 12 games in, if he does a face plant and sucks, then we'll revisit this trade thing. But let's just let him play.
Yeah, people want to talk about it. It's great conversation, and the more you can give people to chew on a little bit, the more interest there's going to be, and more tickets are going to get sold. You got to keep feeding it a little bit, and I think it's about, is Laine happy? Is he want to trade? Is he getting the ice time he wants? All these things. Is he playing on the top line like he asked for, you know? And, you know, we thought that when Paul Stastny got acquired that he'd play with Laine. That seems to be happening in camp. That's what they're talking about. All things seem to be systems go for Laine to be in that plan, to be a leader on the ice for the Winnipeg Jets this year. So I think that's good. I think the questions, you knew they were going to come. He's answered them. You know, unless he's not happy, I think we need to be satisfied with that. But the second he gets demoted down a line or you know, doesn't perform, the questions are going to come up again. Are you happy? Are you
Well, inevitably they are. But they've been asked. He's addressed them. Let's move on.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes.
From, again, leaning into the Winnipeg sports thing. Well, hang on. Can you put the comment out from John Ohm in Winnipeg about the trade rumor? It just slid off the screen. He says, latest trade rumor, line A for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I would do it, and I'm a huge line A fan. That's not a trade rumor. Westwood put that on his Twitter this morning, a poll. It's not a rumor. That was Westwood just mucking around.
I don't know if he's
and
a hockey insider.
No, and I voted for no. Let's just keep line A happy. He's better than most. Anyways, the Blue Bombers, point three, announced this morning they're bringing back offensive tackle Stanley Bryant. I had him in my top five free agents in the CFL. And they yesterday announced they're bringing back Jake Thomas, defensive lineman, longest-serving Winnipeg Blue Bomber. I will say this about the CFL. Folks, all these announcements of players re-signing and coming back aren't news. What's going to be news is the big-name veterans that are cut because they refuse to accept salary reductions. Zach Evans being released in Saskatchewan. That's news. That's big news. The extensions of these other guys, it isn't news. It's positive coverage, which is what they want. But you wait, because the tough news is coming. And those are the big-name CFL vets that weren't interested in taking pay cuts. It's coming. Point four. I wanted to spend way more time on this than we have today, but Joe Judge, the rookie head coach of the New York Giants, went on about a three-minute monologue yesterday, ripping the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson, for pulling his starting quarterback in the fourth quarter of their game Sunday night against Washington. Basically, waving the white flag on the season for a team that was going to miss the playoffs. And he said it was disrespectful to the game. It was disrespectful to the players in the game in the National Football League that opted in, put in all this work, made the season a success to play, and then you pull your quarterback. And as he's going on and on and on and on and on, I'm watching this going, coach your own team, bub. Like, I don't like what Doug Peterson did either, but guess what? It's his team. And by the way, how the Giants doing? Because the dominoes all had to fall and the tea leaves had to be read and the weather had to be right for the Giants to even make the playoffs. You should have won more games, Joe Judge. Would you not agree? Like, it was too much ripping Doug Peterson.
That was way too much.
Yeah.
You know, he said he disrespected the game. And sure, you know, and then the talk came out that, well, I guess Doug Peterson hates the Giants more than he hates with the Washington football team, yeah. You know? And sure, maybe, you know, maybe he's got that respect for Ron Rivera and, you know, wanted to do him a solid.
Yeah.
But that's his choice. You know, you put yourself in the positions. If, you know, you want to control your own destiny. You leave your fate, your playoff lives up to somebody else. This is what happens.
It's your own fault.
This is what happens.
Where'd my coffee go? Is that it? Oh, it's a... Is that over? You don't need to go get it. I just lost it. Point five.
Garçon.
The Raptors are 1-5. They got spanked by the Celtics last night, 126-114. I'll contend nobody cares yet in Western Canada. And point six. Les Lazaruk, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, tweeting yesterday a rather ominous rumor that he said he hopes is bogus. And I have so much respect. If it was anybody else but Les, I would have said, if it's you hope it's bogus, don't tweet it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Les, whom I love and respect. And he said the rumor he's heard is that Hockey Canada will pull the plug on all hockey Wednesday, once the World Juniors gets put to bed tonight. And that includes the Western Hockey League, the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, all levels of hockey. We were on a Zoom call last night with some hockey media folk that believed that the CHL doesn't fall under the umbrella of Hockey Canada. And I'm not sure whether that's right or not. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. I don't know. I guess we're going to find out Wednesday. I've heard two things. One, that there will be a wealthy private donor that will pay for the cost of the Western Hockey League and maybe the entire CHL to play. And two, was told by a hockey source that the Western Hockey League has applied to the government to play in empty arenas, which would feed into point one. They're not going to have revenue from fans, so somebody's got to write a check for them to play. and have the government say, yeah, you can play. They did it for the NHL. So I'm not totally sold on Les's rumor, but it sure got people talking. Our rock star of the day yesterday for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, by the way, was Ken Danico, the New Jersey Devils great. And I just want to wind up the warm-up by saying this. I don't know why folks do it. I'm being grateful for it. I've been doing this gig a long time, not this particular show, just sports media, and I've never had anybody send me anything, like nothing, other than little old ladies sending pies to the radio station, which I quite liked. But Kevin Diaco in Saskatoon yesterday sent us, well, he's the guy that sent the, you see the rings at the front of the desk, Stanley Cup, St. Louis Blues ring, Oilers, Clemson Tigers. He sent this Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup ring. They're replicas, by the way. Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. A Kirby Dach rookie card. What do you think that thing's going to be worth? Kevin, are you sure you want to do this? Kirby Dach, Sidney Crosby, Patrick Mahomes. And then John in Winnipeg sent us a couple of shirts. John. Cobra Kai.
Oh, that's hot.
Strike first. Strike hard. No mercy. Cobra Kai. So we sent a card. It says Rod and Darren. So I assume that's for us.
I don't know if there's another Rod and Darren.
It's a big, wide world out there. It doesn't matter if you're a loser or a nerd or a freak. All that matters is that you become badass. And you guys bring it every day. Thank Rod and Darren for all you do. Here are some Cobra Kai t-shirts for you guys. All the very best for even a greater 2021. Signed, John. I can't wait to put it on. I won't be doing it live on the air, by the way. But I just want to say thanks. I don't know why you do it. I'm not going to say no. They know the joy of giving. It feels good to give.
It does.
And so who am I to say no? So if this turns into Pawn Stars, what the hell?
Yeah. Whatever. We're going to move out of this set, move into a storage locker.
Wouldn't that be great?
Hey.
Storage Wars. When we come back, Spencer and Shelby Moore. The Alouettes and Rich Sutter coming up, too. This has been the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. Da-da-da! Your home of the NFL. You're watching on Game Plus TV, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube Live. And listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. It's episode number 394 of Canada's daytime sports talk show, coming to you out of the bunker here in Western Canada. And I'm very excited about this interview. Our next guest, two longtime friends of mine. Spencer Moore has played in the CFL since 2013. What do you have, six seasons here, and then to the Montreal Alouettes. Shelby, a hockey player of note, fitness guru, and they join us together from the Hammer. Shelby and Spencer Moore, how you doing, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rod. Thank you for having us on today.
Great to hear from you guys. Look, before we get into what's going on with your lives in terms of your new fitness venture and your startup and your entrepreneurship, for both of you, and Spencer, you go first, what's the last 10 months like, if you don't mind me asking?
Interesting, for sure. It's been, of course, an up and down sort of roller coaster year for a lot of people, and you know, we're definitely included in that group as well. It's been tough, but you know, we've kind of used it as a time to get dedicated to things outside of what we're normally used to doing. And that's sort of how we started this business, and Shelby started a business as well. And it's been interesting for sure, though.
And for you, you know, maybe, Shelby, I should back up a little bit. When Spencer was, you know, released by the Rougher, was it a trade or a release, Spencer? It was a trade, right, to Montreal? Or what was it? A trade. Either way, Shelby, your life was uprooted. Right, and you move half a country away. So just talk about that and how you've survived through the pandemic, moving to new towns.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to just get a permanent contract back in Saskatchewan for teaching. So after that, our plan was always to end up over here. So it was kind of, we just said that was going to be part of our transition. And so we left everything there and it was my turn to kind of move and follow him a little bit, because he had lived in Sask full time with me since, you know, we were together. So yeah, moved to Montreal. And while we were in Montreal, I wasn't working, and I decided, so I had this lifelong dream, I guess, of starting this business. I had an idea. So I actually started my business. It's called Safe Pet Tags. It's a dog safety program. And I wrote a children's book and everything to go along with that. So I started that when we were in Montreal. And then I started applying for jobs over in Hamilton. And I actually got one sooner than expected. So I moved back to Hamilton a little bit earlier than Spence and started my venture out here. So I got a permanent contract out here as well. I'm a learning consultant at a private school, and I absolutely love it. And yeah, so I've been working at home for the pandemic and everything else.
Well, you know what I love about you too is it has not been easy the last couple of years, but you're always smiling, always. So before we talk about CFL stuff, talk about one more rep, Spencer. Back over to you. What are we talking about today with that?
Just throughout the pandemic, you know, we've sort of found that obviously maintaining our physical health was a big way of maintaining our mental health. And, you know, in speaking with others and sort of seeing the landscape of personal health and at-home health, there's a need for people to be led in the right direction. I think that traditionally, going to the gym, it's worked for a lot of people, but that's not an option right now, especially in Ontario. And we just decided that we have a fair amount of knowledge that we're willing to share. Shelby's a teacher. I like working with people. I like being in the community. And it's something that we decided that, you know what, we were going to take this thing full bore and kind of hit the ground running. And with the launch of it, essentially in the last 2 weeks, we already have quite a few clients that are lined up. And it's nice to give back, and it's nice to, you know, have the home gym as well. It's something that I can use and Shelby can use. And we're just excited to get this thing going.
So where can people follow you and become part of this? What's the best course of action for people that are watching right now and want to give it a try?
So we're building our Instagram page right now. We don't have an official website launched just yet. I think that that's in the works. However, I do also think that social media is sort of the way to get things accomplished these days. So if you're looking to get some more information, you can hit me up at SpencerMore80 on Instagram. Hit me in my DMs and we can talk about, you know, your goals and how we can help you reach those goals.
And Shelby, where do you fit into all of this?
Yeah, so because I am working full time and have the other business, we did team up a little bit with this. So I have some online clients that I'm training, just some females that I'm working with specifically, helping gain the traction for and on social media. And yeah, we're kind of giving people the option. So if they prefer to do some online training with me, then I'm available to do that. Obviously my schedule is quite a bit different and I don't have as many options or openings as Spencer, but that's something that's available to those as well. So you can also hit me up in my DMs too.
There you go. Well, they start with Spencer Moore 80, everybody, and then you can segue off to Shelby. Now, Spencer, look, I think the most viral tweet you ever sent out was in defense of the CFL during the pandemic. And you know the one that I'm talking about. And you basically said, maybe you should paraphrase what you said and why you said it.
I think that what I was trying to achieve with that tweet and that line of tweets, because there was a few of them, was just sort of getting away from this inferiority complex that we have with the U.S. And I think that oftentimes using the U.S. as a basis of comparison will only lead us into the negative things. I don't want to be like the U.S. I don't think that we should be aiming to be like the U.S. Of course, if the CFL could grow to become like the NFL, that would be great. But that's not the goal right now. The goal is to appreciate what we have while we have it. And I think that when the pandemic hit and our season got canceled, people were losing sight of that. And then as the time went on and the season wasn't happening, people started to realize, like, we miss it. We want this. This is our league. This is our game. And I think that the reach of the CFL cannot be overstated. We're in communities across the country and giving back to communities across the country. So I wanted it to be known that, you know, it's our game and we love it and people love the CFL and it needs to be, you know, screamed from the rooftops.
Exactly. And the reaction to that, did it blow you away? That's why I say it had to be your most viral tweet, because I was like, whoa, did this hit a nerve with people in a good way?
Yeah, it definitely did. It spawned a few interviews, and I had a lot of positive feedback from people across Twitter. I think that, truthfully, the amount of positive feedback that I received from it, that was what shocked me. That's sort of what overwhelmed me, because I was anticipating, you know, quite a bit of negative talk, because you always hear it. You always see it when you're reading through replies on Twitter, people talking about the NFL and this and that. But the amount of people that are like, yes, we want the CFL. We love the CFL. We appreciate what you guys do in communities. That's what really blew me away.
From producer Clark, he writes in and says, fun fact, Shelby was on my hockey team back in Pee Wee in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. She was much better than I was. I first became acquainted with Shelby when you were skating out in the referee's jersey with the Warriors flag at the Moose Jaw Warriors game, Shelby. What was that like to have the whole rink looking at you back in the day?
Oh, man. I don't even know how to answer that. I would rather have been, on wing or, you know, playing, but instead, but yeah, I don't know. It's all fun. Anything's on the ice.
Was it not a little unnerving? Like, you were the first person on the ice out of everybody, like before the refs, before the teams. That had to be a little nerve wracking, I would think.
Well, I'm glad you weren't giving me my pregame talk.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it was good, but I'm pretty outgoing and it doesn't really bother me. I'm a teacher. No, that's where I talk all the time.
And Spencer, just on that, well, here, Donald Mitchell watching in Bahrain, he says, as Rod and Dupe said yesterday, the CFL should lean into being the CFL with its rules, size and field, goalposts on the goal line and the rouge. I want to know your take on what Boomer Esiason said about, you know, the Strebler analysis the other day and just saying, this isn't the CFL. It was so dismissive. I mean, given your passion for the league, what did you think about all that?
Yeah, I think that it was, quite frankly, a second-tier comment from not one of the best commentators. I think that to just throw something out there like that really shows a lack of education on the game. I think that, you know, good football minds appreciate our game and appreciate the NFL regardless. And I also think that if you look at Strebler's day, it wasn't the best day, but I read somewhere that he had a better passer rating than four top-flight NFL guys. So it was a quick comment made. I think that in hindsight, maybe you would take that one back. But I think that it was just kind of a shot at us for really no reason. I've seen a lot of players in the NFL make a lot of bad plays, especially this year. So I didn't really care too much about it, to be honest.
I get you. Okay, guys. Well, all the best in 2021. Good luck with one more rep. Keep in touch. And Spencer, tell those folks in Hamilton that I'm not so bad. If you've heard any bad things, yeah, just tell them I'm not so bad, all right?
I don't know, Robbie.
All right. Thanks, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time.
You as well.
See, Spencer and Shelby Moore joining us from The Hammer. He knew what I was talking about there. I could tell.
Of course he did. You know, sometimes, well, when you're in the inner circle of the CFL, Spencer's that, right? All the players and stuff. You know everything that's going on, players talk.
He knows.
It's fun.
I'm going to go, well, two things. One, Joe Lazito is writing me from Long Island regarding Boomer Esiason, and he doesn't like Boomer. Okay?
Okay.
You're realizing that not a lot of people like Boomer. You've noticed that in the last 24, 48 hours?
I've noticed.
Yeah, and he's, in a way, I admire this. He's doubled down on the anti-CFL in the last, obviously I'm a CFL guy, clearly. But I think it's funny that Boomer's like, he's not backing down from what he said. Clearly he feels the way he feels about the CFL.
Yeah. So we don't like what he said.
Right.
We don't agree with it. We don't like him. But in a weird way, we respect it because he's doubling down on it.
That's where I'm at.
You know what I mean? When you have an opinion, stick with it. Back it up. You know, those types of things. So that's interesting. It makes me a little uncomfortable that I kind of respect that.
Doesn't make me uncomfortable at all.
But it doesn't make me like what he said. But yeah,
Jeff,
it's funny.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says Boomer is loving the publicity. And that may be true. I don't know the guy from Adam, just from watching him on TV for years and then on the football field. But this is what I respect. And I told Joe Lazito this. We were going back and forth on Facebook Messenger. I said, I kind of like the fact that he's doubled down on this. Maybe he's ahead of his time, i.e. anti-cancel culture. Because all of Canada, or for sure CFL fans, are just flinging manure at him. And he's like, back off. It's what I think. How can you not respect that?
I know.
We need a lot more of that.
You know what? You're not wrong. We do. We need more people that can say what they mean, have an opinion, and then not back down, change it, or, you know, kowtow when somebody, you know, disagrees with you, right? Doesn't mean we're going to agree with what he said, but, you know, respect the fact that he's going to stay on his side and we can stay on ours.
I admire it.
Yeah.
So that sports update I was telling you about, the Cleveland Browns will play their first playoff game since 2002 without first-year head coach Kevin Stefanski, who tested positive for COVID-19 today. Just 2 days after leading the team back for the postseason, the Browns said today special teams coordinator Mike Preffer will be the acting head coach Sunday while Stefanski is away. And they got the Steelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors' struggles continued Monday night in Tampa. Jason Tatum scored 40 points, and the Boston Celtics rolled to a 126-114 win over the Raptors, despite playing without three of their top guards. Fred VanVleet scored a season-high 35 points. Wait a minute. I got it. The Raps are 1-5. It's their worst start since 2012. They're not sleeping in their own beds.
What's the problem?
Easy peasy.
Waking up every morning with a crink in their neck.
That's right. Former NHL coach and Stanley Cup winner John Muckler has died. No, that's tragic news. He was 86. Talk about a life well lived.
Oh, man.
Muck. He was part of the staff that put together the Oilers dynasty of the 1980s, joining Edmonton in 1982 as an assistant coach under Glenn Slatsather before going on to win 5 Stanley Cups with the organization, 1 as head coach. And Canada will attempt to go for back-to-back gold medals at the World Juniors tonight in Edmonton when it faces the United States. The Canadians are the only team yet to lose a game at this year's tournament and have never trailed, outscoring their opponents 41-4 through 6 contests. A lot to get to with Rich Sutter, our analyst, when we come back. The sports update is for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon. It is...
What day is it today?
Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday featured chicken tacos, $12.95 at Wendell Clark's. See you at Wendell's, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. And for the Tap Brew House and Drive Through Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with 8 amazing flavors, including the new Alma Mocha. I had half of one this morning.
Oh, wow.
RP Show viewers get 20% off with a promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. A member of Hockey's First Family joins us next. Rich Sutter, you're watching the RP Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As we mentioned, there is breaking news today. Where's my bell? Breaking news. Kevin Stefanski won't coach the Cleveland Browns. I can't believe it. On Sunday, he's COVID positive. And the NHL announcing this morning that they are selling sponsorships to their divisions, including the North Division, the Canadian Division, which is the Scotia Division. Darren and I are going to face off on that a little later on in the program. But on this game day in Canada, let's go to Lethbridge, Alberta now and join our World Juniors hockey analyst, Richie Sutter, Canada, USA. Hey, Richie, good morning to you. Happy New Year, buddy. Did you see this final coming, Canada, USA?
I thought there was a good chance, to be honest with you, Rod. I was actually hoping Finland. I thought that once they fought their way back in and seemed to have the momentum, they allowed a game breaker get loose on them in the slot, and all he needed was one shot, and that's what he got, and he took it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I guess we could go back to the semifinals, and we will, but this is an almost historic run of dominance by Team Canada. Last I checked, there's no Connor McDavid on this team. There's no Wayne Gretzky. There's no Max Domi. Like, did you see the dominance coming for this Canadian team?
No, but I think that's also part and parcel, but it says a lot to their structure, to their depth, the ability to use four lines to this point and get production from all four lines. When it's a winner-take-all one game, I don't. No one's ever liked that kind of scenario, but it is what it is. Going tonight, yes, I do give each team an equal chance to win. There's no doubt about it. You're going to look at depth again. I think that still at one point, you look at what happened last night in the finished U.S. game, is that Nate Lehman had to really shorten his bench. And it's obvious he went with nine forwards tops, and at times he was doubling up on his top two lines. At some point, where does Canada go to that tonight? You pray to God that they're not going to have to go to that, that they will be in control of the game and they will be leading the game. They've never had to play from behind, and that could be a thing that's going to test their will and their character. So let's see where it ends up and how they were able to handle. So I just like Canada's depth. Goaltending, I think, is a soft, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, I like Canada's depth. But also at the end of the day, you know, you got the Zegras factor, you got the Caulfield factor. These guys are complete game breakers and momentum changers.
Well, you know, you're breaking it down wonderfully. And I guess my big question to you is, what are the differences in terms of the makeup of these teams, their identity? Because they both start the periods like a bat out of hell, particularly the start of the game, right? Whether they keep their foot on the gas is another story. But what are the differences between the two teams? What could tip the scale in a game like tonight?
Well, and I've really tried to pay attention to that, Rod, in the last at least 7 days. And what can be difference makers or game changers for each group? It's just not these teams, but all the teams and the legitimate teams, put it that way. I really believe that you look at these two teams tonight. I look at one team that is able to roll four lines, I think, and be more comfortable with that as long as they are in control, and that being Canada. I also look at a team like Canada that, if need be, can play a little bit of a nasty game as long as they're willing to allow to be to play it. I think they got some guys that can be presences out there, like the Braden Schneiders, like the Byfields, that will maybe need to get a little physical in some spots down low in the offensive zone off the forecheck tonight. I see a kind of team that can shoulder a little more of the physical taking if U.S. can provide that, than what the U.S. can shoulder. I saw it when Finland pressed them. I saw it at times when the Russians pressed them. There were breakdowns 5-on-5. There was goals and chances happening 5-on-5 that you didn't quite see on the Canadian side. So, like, again, it's one game take all, a bad bounce, puck luck, a broken play, a lucky goal. That's how these things play out. And I just hope that more often than not that is what happens. And let's hope tonight that our country, our kids, our team can be in more control and will not have to worry about those situations.
Well, all the focus, of course, is on the gold medal game, but you'll be watching the bronze medal game too, which, frankly, you know, I've done these World Juniors tournaments. It is the booby prize. It's the consolation game. Right? 24 hours after losing a heartbreaking semifinal, you're on the ice again trying to win a medal. Like, Igor Larionov with Russia was absolutely gutted, Richie, after the game. Gutted last night. Like, what do you expect out of this Finland-Russia game?
Well, you know, I honestly think, you know, the game, the Canada game was over with in the first period. Mm-hmm. Canada, they had Russia right back in her heels. Askarov was... I mean, he was one of those guys again in net. You were wondering what were you going to get from him. You knew he had all the ability to stop 45 shots and knock Canada out. but there always seems to be something with this guy in his game. There has been the last three, four starts, losing his sticks, not playing to his size, down early on shots, not staying big while he's down, pucks getting through his arms. He seemed to be like he was an adventure and you really didn't know what you were going to get. And obviously we found that out early. It'll be very interesting to see how he responds today. But when I look at the Russian kids, the game was over with a lot earlier yesterday for them. And I mean, they were honestly, if they weren't thinking bronze medal by the end of the first period, halfway through the game, then I don't know what they were thinking because the game was over. But when you look at the Finnish group, I mean, the game was over and then it was over. You know, it was a fourth, the goal was scored, the fourth goal, and then it was basically, it was over. So it came as more of a real brunt and abrupt fashion to those kids. And I think, honestly, that might be harder to take. So it'll be very interesting to see how both clubs respond. I do still like the Igor Larionov factor behind the bench, that somehow he'll find a way to get some of these kids to respond today. But at the end of the day, I also like finishes their compete, how hard they also play, and they're willing not to roll over when they get down.
If I was Larionov, I'd go with the other guy. I don't know what his name is, but I'd go with the other guy. But on Askarov, the goalie coach for Nashville is Ben Vanderklok. Don't know him, but you got Askarov, who's clearly rich, has first-round talent. Goalies get better the older they get, as you know. He's 18. Like, if they believed in him enough to be a first-rounder, his career's not over based on a bad showing in the World Juniors.
No, but let's be honest too, Rod. I mean, this is his second World Juniors. It wasn't his first kick at the can, and with not knowing what he was walking into and expecting and the type of challenges he was going to have and the type of teams he was going to face. This is his second time around. The potential is sky high for this kid, and with proper instruction and teaching and moving forward and experiences, he will get better from this. I mean, they didn't draft him where they draft him without them thinking he's got a chance to be a franchise goalie. And I think he's just got to learn to settle his game down and do things a certain way. And I think also, more importantly, maybe get good goaltending instruction, because I looked at a kid from last year to this year expecting so much more, and his calmness in his game and how he was going to handle things on a game-to-game basis. Constructive things that would kept him in the calm and kept his game simple, kept his game consistent. And I saw a goalie again this year that almost from game to game, there was always something different that was arising, that was creating problems and got to where they got, where they are today.
By the way, Ben Vanderklok, shout out Welland, Ontario, to our viewers there. That's where he's from, Richie. And he started coaching with the Port Colborne Pirates of the Golden Horseshoe Junior Hockey League, Junior B, back in 2003. He's made his all the way up to the National Hockey League with the Nashville Predators. He's the goalie coach there with the Preds. Faye Lowther watching. She says, Happy New Year, Rod. You're an awesome guy. We love you. Hope you get down to Truro, Nova Scotia sometime. Signed, the Lowthers. That's the parents of Brett Lowther, free agent kicker, trying his shot in the NFL. Richie, enjoy the game tonight. Happy New Year as always, and we'll bring you back on to talk about it.
You bet. Thanks, Rod. Take care.
The great Rich Sutter joining us from Lethbridge, Alberta. Little preview of tonight's gold medal game. We'll be back with the always fun viewer takeover, everybody. We'll update the poll results. You're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube Live, and listen live for Sud's full service car wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Moose DuPont and the entire gang. I got to say this. It's been bothering me ever since Shelby Moore said it earlier.
Uh-oh.
She says, I'm glad you weren't giving me the pep talk when she had to go skate out with the Warriors flag before Moose Jaw Warrior games. Because I said it would be unnerving. It reminds me of a time that one of the guys that I was recovery coaching, I went to watch him play. And made the road trip down to watch him, and I was up in a luxury suite. And let me just say this, he was a goalie, and I was watching the game with his parents, and every light in the arena went out, spotlight on that tunnel. And I'm thinking, my guy's leading them out. My heart went up into my throat. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For him.
I know.
So that's, I'm like, whoa, you can't show that when you're dealing with his anxiety. You know what I mean?
You can't,
but
yeah.
I can say it. You can't. That's the point. It's unnerving when you're in these positions with the spotlight on you, just so you know I've been there.
What a pep talk. Hey, are you ready? Everybody's going to be watching you. You know, if you make a mistake, it's going to be so much stress. And
well, I don't say
of course, of course not. I'm in the Shelby
situation. Why wouldn't she say, glad that you're not giving me a pep talk? Well, I wouldn't have said that
exactly.
If you were just about to go out onto the ice. We're talking about this in retrospect. Rapid fire here on the Prairie Mobile text line. Brady in Saskatoon writes this at 840-8777. She says, hey, Rod, the CFL needs to take one from the NHL's bucket of knowledge and techniques. The more sponsorships you have, the more money you can make. Goes on to say the Cleveland Browns are without a head coach and will lose this week because of it. The reason the Cleveland Browns made the playoffs for the first time since 2002 is because of Kevin Stefanski. So I'm not going to argue that they're going to lose without him this weekend. Can't even be around the team all week, obviously.
Right.
Metal Shingle Guy writes in. He says, love the game. Very entertaining. Crush the Russians. Do it again tonight. Go Canada. I actually had the top of my Canada tracksuit. I brought it here, but it was too hot to wear under the lights. Should have worn it. From Cleaver and Swift Current, tonight we're one hot goalie away from a loss. If Spencer Knight has the game of his life, it'll be tough, but I hope he has his normal game. You know what that means.
Yeah.
Hope he's not watching right now. We don't need to fire him up. By the way, the face-off, which we do a few times a week, brought to you by the Mad Greek Restaurant and Ultimate Fan Zone. It's over sponsorship for the National Hockey League. I saved the photo here. Sponsorship for the divisions. Here they are again. The West is the Honda Division, where my Vegas Golden Knights reside. The Canadian Division is actually the Scotia Division. The East Division is brought to you by Mass Mutual. And the Central Division is for Discover Credit Card. I want this forever. What's wrong with that? We had the Smythe Division and the Adams Division and the Patrick Division forever. That worked great. They weren't even making any money off that. So why does this only have to be for this year? I think this should be the case. It doesn't have to be these exact names, but it doesn't hurt. It should, if money is the name of the game, let's do it.
Yeah, and I sit there thinking, I think it's great for the year. I think it's fun. It's a novel thing. These aren't divisions that are going to stick around, but it's hard to think of it long term. And I go back to when you name a championship trophy or you name a division and you want people to say it, right? Part of the lingo. You know, the Scotia North Division. That rolls off the tongue. It's great. But it's going to change every couple of years. Unless you're going to, hopefully, if you lock them into 10-year deals, I got no problem, right? It's just create some longevity so you're not just switching it every year. That will make it look bad and have a negative effect from an advertising standpoint as well. But so I'm not in favor of the divisions just because it's something you want to use in naming the team, right? I don't like when teams sponsor the name of their team, right? I'm not in favor of that. There's better ways to get ads on.
I want to remind you that this is the Face-Off brought to you by Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek Restaurant. Continue.
Yeah, but that's different. That's our show.
Exactly.
Right?
Perspective.
Perspective. It's my chair. It's our business. That's different. No, it's fun. I like it. And I hope it works for them.
Well, while these divisions will change past this year, there's still going to be four divisions. So they may be geographically realigned. You can still name them. So I'm okay with them doing it. That's our Face-Off for the Ultimate Fan Zone and Mad Greek. By the way, coming up on Wednesday's program, which will be episode number 395, we'll be joined by our good friend Johnny Avello, DraftKings odds expert, and former Blue Jays first base coach Tim Leeper. That is all coming up tomorrow. So join us at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and here at noon Eastern on Game Plus TV. Let's make some noise!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.